I would always just get insecure about people thinking that I talked about Jesus too much, or that I was coming across as holier than thou, or judging them, or whatever it may be. And so I had this weird tension with being myself, who is a follower of Jesus, but also being a good friend and not being too much.
Hey, it's your friend Noelle, and you're listening to Friending, a podcast that helps Jesus-loving women have awesome female friendships. Because let's be real, friendship can be hard and complicated, and sometimes it's easy to think that you're the only one on the friendship struggle bus. Well, good news, you're not. Here at Friending, we will have honest and sometimes uncomfortable conversations about finding the friends we need right now, getting healing for the friendship wounds of our past, and how to get beyond just having coffee and chit-chat with friends to having heart-to-heart, deep-level conversations where we grow together in our faith and cheer each other on in our dreams. You can count on Friending to be super real, super practical, and super here for you. Let's get down to it. Well, here we are, and we've got an awesome episode today. Maggie Yao is on the show. Maggie is the founder of Gospel Girl. Gospel Girl is a ministry that invites high school and college age girls into a relationship with Jesus through the gospel, Bible study, and community. And Maggie is awesome. And she's also my real friend in real life. She's like my little sister. I love her dearly because she's got such a huge heart for Jesus and a huge heart for people, especially girls in high school. And I thought this episode was really important because here is this really talented and wise and just awesome woman who's leading a ministry. And she brings up a really important question that I know I've personally struggled with and have wondered and have worried about. And that is, am I too Christian for my friends? Am I a little too Jesus freaky for my friends? Some of them might say yes, actually. But you know, what does that mean? How does that affect our friendships? What should our response be? And Maggie goes there, which I just love about her. She's not afraid to go there. So without further ado, I just want to jump into this interview because Maggie's got some gold where she talks about our faith and how it impacts our friendships. But also she talks about insecurities, consistency in friendship, communication in friendship. There is just some diamonds in this episode that I know you're really going to appreciate and find value. So sit back and relax, or, you know, pick up your step if you're on a walk. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're doing right now, but whatever you're doing, tune in because Maggie Yao has got something to say. Okay, Maggie. Like I have told you, this is going to be going deep right away, which I think you're fine with, right?
I love that. I love it.
You and I have been friends for a couple months now.
Yes. I tell people all the time, I would share my deepest, darkest secret with a stranger on the street.
You're perfect for this podcast then, because I really think that one of the things about friendship for females is we need to get a little bit more honest about the stuff that's happening inside of us if we ever want to get healthy in our friendships and really get more out of it. So I'm just going to ask you the question. What is your personal insecurity that has kind of impacted your friendships in a negative way?
Yes. Okay. So it's going to sound strange, but sometimes in friendships, I get super insecure about being the Jesus freak.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in public school, public high school, public college. I was in a sorority. I was in a lot of spheres where there weren't a lot of believers. And that is kind of strange for the Southern Bible Belt, but I was in these spheres and I would always just get insecure about people thinking that I talked about Jesus too much, or that I was coming across as holier than thou, or judging them, or whatever it may be. And so I had this weird tension with being myself, who is a follower of Jesus, but also being a good friend and not being too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely can relate to that being a pastor. I'm always like, when I meet new women that I can be friends with, they're like, what do you do? I'm always like, I encourage people. Like, I don't tell them usually I'm a pastor the first time around, because sometimes people definitely get a little bit like freaked out. They're like, oh. And they're all of a sudden very conscious of their language and what they're talking about. And I feel bad that I'm making them feel uncomfortable.
Yes, that is exactly it. It's like that, you know, that they know what you believe and who you are. And there's just that weird line of convictions and judgment and all of those things and guilt even.
Yeah, totally.
But I know that insecurity is like 100% rooted in me, because it's me struggling with the balance of being myself, but also like, yes, I am a Jesus freak, you know, and I'm like being myself, and also just the insecurity of being too much of anything, whether it's loud or too quiet or too noisy, too whatever.
Well, I think it's interesting you said that, because I've done a few interviews, you know, asking these same questions, and this idea of being too much, worrying about being too much, has come up in almost all the ones I've done so far. Yeah. So I think it's something that we as women really do. It's a lie that we believe about ourselves that is just not true, you know? Absolutely. And I don't know if it's, you know, we could argue and say it's societal, you know, cultural, but I think it's spiritual. I think that we really just don't feel like we're worthy to take up space. Mm-hmm. And you know, we serve a limitless God who has all the space in the world for us. So I think that's just my opinion. But yeah.
Yeah.
That idea being too much.
I was at a women's, it's like a women's event on identity a couple of weeks ago. And before it started, there was a little jar in the lobby, and they asked you to go and write down one word about yourself and put it in the jar.
Yeah.
And then the speaker was going to pull them out later and talk about them. And when I went up, I was thinking about myself, and I was like, okay, what's one word that can describe me? And like, you know me, I don't love like the cutesy fluffy type of like beautiful loved.
Right, right.
That wasn't what I wrote down. And so I ended up writing down extra. And I was like, I think that's it. Extra in all that I do, if it's going to be a party, we're going to make it the best party with all the sparkles and the disco balls. If I'm going to wear an outfit, I'm going to just dress to the nines. Like, it is going to be extra.
It's going to be extra. Yeah. And when you say someone's extra, like, sometimes it's not a good connotation. No,
not at all.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me then what God has shown you through this, like understanding this is your personal insecurity, the idea of being where you're a Jesus freak, or even the idea that you are extra. What has God talked to you about in that regard?
Yeah. So, I actually have a fun story to tell. It was one of those moments where everything just kind of hit me in the face. So I had a friend throughout college. We had been friends for 3 years. And she was a friend who did not know the Lord. And finally, we met on the first day of freshman year. Junior year, we are sitting in her living room on her couch. And she finally just got like blurted out, Maggie, why have you never invited me to church? And I was just kind of taken aback by that. Like, I mean, I didn't know if you wanted to go. And she was like, well, you talk about Jesus with all your other friends. You always go to church with these other friends. You do college ministry with them. And I just didn't know why you never asked me. I didn't know if you thought I was good enough. And everything came crashing down in that moment, because I realized that was my own insecurity getting in the way of bringing someone to the feet of Jesus, that people are not looking at me like the Jesus freak as much as I think they are. But in reality, if I believe who Jesus says he is, and I believe in the power of God, that people need Jesus, they need that hope in their life, then my own insecurity is being really hypocritical in that, that I should be wanting to be the Jesus freak and be bringing people to his feet because he's worth it. And He's something to get excited about. He's something that girls want to know about. My friends want to know about because they see that in me and they see that it's different. So that was a humbling experience, to say the least.
Yeah, that's powerful because I think that we assume that our faith is offensive to our friends who don't have the same faith. And I mean, I've had a very similar experience. Someone's like, why don't you ever invite me to the church that you pastor? Like, is there something wrong with me? And I'm like, no, I just didn't want you to feel pressure, you know? Exactly. And I remember her saying something very similar, like, well, this is a huge thing in your life. Why wouldn't I want to at least check it out, you know? So I think that's really powerful that you shared that because I think a lot of us don't share our faith because we think we're being loving and actually it's the opposite.
Right.
Wow.
And so God did his thing. And even though I had been insecure and afraid of sharing it, ended up bringing that friend to church the very next Sunday. And now they are faithfully walking with the Lord.
Well, that's cool. That's really cool.
A big celebration, but also a huge life lesson to learn from.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh. I got chills, literally, my hair. All right. Anyways, let me ask you this. What is something that a friend has done for you recently that really blessed you? And by the way, you may be hearing my lovely neighbor, Rich, is blowing leaves for our other neighbor, Brenda, out there, which is very sweet. He's being a good friend because she's not able to do it this year. So anyways, if you hear the leaves blowing in the background, it's just an example of friendship happening around us. Anyways, tell me what is something that a friend's done for you that's blessed you recently.
Okay, so this probably isn't a single act, and maybe this isn't the exact answer to the question, but something that has blessed me in friendship recently is consistency. So I have a friend, Olivia, and she is just the best because this girl will text me consistently to check on me, ask about how Gospel Girl is going. She comes to Sanford, where I live, very consistently to hang out. She spent the whole day with me before, and she's been doing this for a long time. And I think that her consistency in my life has been such a blessing because in a time where everything else is very inconsistent and very unstable, I've needed that in a friendship. And so the best thing that I can try to be for her is now consistent because I see what a blessing that is.
Well, I mean, consistency is like the secret sauce to friendship. I mean, I think I'm so glad you said that because you don't have to actually, you should spend time with your friends face to face, but if you're consistently connecting with them on a regular basis, it's just as powerful in my opinion, because right now we're living, at least up here in New Jersey, we're still quite quarantined or social distance. So we don't get to hang out face to face as often. But if the fact that some of us have stayed consistently connected, making the phone call, checking in with a text, leaving the Voxer, it has been like a really powerful, you know, superpower in friendship that we can underestimate, that when you just are consistent in someone's life, you actually are digging deeper roots in that friendship. And it's really amazing. So good on Olivia for doing that.
It's incredible. I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, there's not anything, one big, huge ta-da moment where it's like, wow, this was just the best ever, because all of those big ta-da moments are fleeting. But what really stays is the consistent friendship that's continually pursuing.
Love it. Okay. Now tell me, what is something that has hurt you in friendship?
Lack of communication has been the biggest hurt. I think on both ends that would be some ways that I have struggled in that, as well as other people have struggled in that with me. Starting out a friendship, communication is so important, and just being really honest and vulnerable with the areas where you need maybe a little more love or you need a little backup from. And so I just think communication is key. Letting your friend know what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what your expectations are, all of those things are just important to communicate consistently as well.
Do you think that we as women have a tendency to tell our friends what we think that they want us to say? as opposed to like what we really truly think and believe and feel. What do you think about that?
Yes, I know. I personally like tell people what they want to hear all the time. I have a really bad habit of overpromising because I just want to tell, I want to be everything for everyone. I want to tell them what they want to hear. I want to show up and kind of commit to things that I know I can't do. Yeah. All of those things, because it is the pressure to be what the other person, what you assume the other person wants.
Yeah. I think that's like, for me, what I notice with communication is it's not always much a lack of communication. It's just like not real truthful communication.
That's good.
It can get tough there. Now you mentioned that this is a problem for you, but how do you hurt your friends, even if it's unintentional? Like, what have you noticed about yourself that you do that can be hurtful towards your friends?
Yeah, I think this is really specific to my point in life right now. So I just moved when COVID happened. And so I have a lot of friends fresh out of college. So I have a lot of friends, still my college friends that I'm really close with. And we're all spread out across North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina. And so I can't necessarily travel to them as quickly and be the same type of friend that we were in college. So we're kind of phasing out of that seasonal friendship while I'm also trying to make new friends where I'm living now and build those relationships, which always takes a ton of time and really in being intentional with that. And so I think my biggest, the way I hurt my friends is just trying to balance it all and not balancing it well. I'm trying to be everything for everyone. And in that, I can overpromise. I can set unrealistic expectations. Yeah. I can come across as too busy for people. I try to communicate that I have a lot going on and I'm stressed out or whatever it may be that's prohibiting me from hanging out with them. And it comes across as negative.
Yeah.
Instead, my heart posture for it is really just trying to explain myself. But in over-explaining, I think I can push people away.
Yeah, like it's being received as though they're not a priority in your life anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a real thing, especially I think when you move into a new place. I really do feel like, one, I know it's not new for you because you grew up in Sanford, but you're kind of like new as an adult moving back home. It's something that I think we don't realize, because I moved back to Jersey when I was 35, you know, and I've lived here most of my life. And I remember feeling like I was, you know, trying to make new friends here, and I was kind of lonely in that way, like trying to find people I could go to the movies with, you know. But then I was hurting my friends, you know, back in Northern Ireland, because same thing. It's like I'm trying to invest and dig, you know, my roots here while still holding on that same intensity of friendship that like is now complicated with a time difference and an ocean between us. And so it is tricky. It's a tricky thing. And you don't want to make anybody feel like they don't matter to you anymore.
Right. I've always, always, always struggled with transitions. Like since I was teeny tiny, I have always just not done well with any type of transitions.
Right.
And I think that's because I have a really hard time letting go of how things were.
Yeah.
And then also being bold and confident enough to step out into something new.
Yeah.
And so in that, I just see myself as like, I think it's in the movie Elf when he steps on the elevator or the escalator and he's got one foot on the floor and the other on the escalator. I feel like that's me right now, that I'm just so stretched. And eventually you're kind of paralyzed by being stretched so far that you can't do anything.
That's a really good picture. Yeah. Like you're moving up or you're moving away, but your foot's still there and you're like practically in a split. You're in pain. Everybody's in pain watching it. I mean, it's hard to, I think sometimes we don't want to let go, or we think we have to hold on to things as tight as they were because we don't want to let go and we don't want that friendship to go away. And there is a bit of a risk, you know, in that, because what if it does?
Right.
What if it does? So, well, we'll have to pray for you about that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm confident you figure it out.
My elf posture.
Your elf posture needs to change. Maggie, I really appreciate your honesty and just being willing to open up and talk to us about stuff that we usually don't talk about, you know, around coffee. But I'm hoping this would encourage somebody out there who's probably just moved and isn't in transition as well, to know that she is not the only one finding this hard. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. It's been fun.
It's been fun. It was such a privilege to have that conversation with Maggie. I just think she's awesome. She's just one of my favorite people. Hey, if you don't follow Gospel Girl already on Instagram, you really should. The handle is @_gospelgirl. And you should also check out their website, which I'll put all that info in the show notes for you, so you don't need to panic. Gospel Girl has got some super cute merch, really cute merch. I have a tee. My daughter has the hoodie. It's just adorable and I love it. And I just love all things Gospel Girl. It's a great organization. I am super proud of what Maggie's done and I love her heart behind it. So get behind it with me if you're interested. I don't want to sound too pushy, but I'm going to push a little bit. If you are about seeing high school girls really know Jesus for themselves and not just because they were brought up in church or because they feel like it's the right thing to do, but because they really do want to get to know Jesus, check out Gospel Girl and support them. All right, that's all I got to say because I feel like Maggie did such a great job at saying it all. Till next time, I'm your friend, Noelle. Hey, let's be friends on Instagram. You can follow me at my handle @yourfriendnoelle, where hopefully my hot mess but real life will encourage you to pursue your purpose even if it doesn't look Insta-perfect, because my life certainly doesn't. I will keep it real, I promise you. You can also follow Friending @friendingshow, where we have all kinds of daily friendshipy truth bombs and friendspiration to help you stay intentional with investing in your female friendships. Hope to see you there.